So how you doing? This is Russ, 31 Days to Blaze. It only takes a few moments to open that Bible, acknowledge the living, unbroken, unceasing presence of Christ, and to begin to read and to begin to, well, sense the living presence of Jesus. That's really the beginning point when we meet with God. And when we meet with God, whatever scripture we're looking at, whether the Spirit of God guided us or whether we just simply opened up and began to read, we have the living words of God speaking to us. We have the Spirit of God present. We have the living Jesus attentive. There is also the idea that God hears. It's from a Greek word, akouo, that he hearkens to your prayers, that there's an attentiveness of God. You got to understand that even though we are not always attentive to Jesus, even though we are not always with a conscious mind thinking about God, thinking about Christ or the Word of God, God is infinite, and he is able to completely be attentive to you and to millions of others at the same moment without any lack. God hears your prayers. God sees your dedication. God is ready and waiting as you open the book. The Spirit of God is, I believe, passionately ready to do his work of illuminating the Word of God to you, speaking into you, guiding you in worship, in prayer, and expanding your life on a daily basis. So as you do your daily time with God, morning watch and evening watch, I think, is the best way to begin. Starting early in the morning as you meet with the Lord and get the Word of God into you and pray over the day and get a sense of the living, conscious presence of God, who is always there. Then you launch out, as you've prayed over the day, you launch out in his presence. And that makes a day really different. It makes you ready to minister, to evangelize, to pray, to hear God. It enables you to see answered prayer maybe even that day as you prayed over the day in advance. So if you have the morning watch early in the morning, don't forget about in the evening also, to where you can take some time to reflect on the day, to reflect on the Word. Remember, TV, no matter how many hours we watch, doesn't really do a whole lot. We forget it all. But in spending time with God, memorizing Scripture, praying over events, well, let me tell you something. There's possibly an eternal difference. The value of meeting with God, making that time vital and first, it's a vital thing for all of us. I start off this devotion today with these comments about the necessity, about the need, about the potentials of literally meeting with God on a daily basis, being built up in our most holy faith. You see, today is about prophetic revelation. As the Spirit of God has prophetically revealed the satanic agenda. Now I'm going to read out of 2 Thessalonians 2, which gives us a panoramic view of the end of days. It involves the coming of Christ. It involves the rise of Antichrist. It involves the ramping up of demonic activity. It involves so many things and the end. And it involves eternal consequences. It will reveal that there is clearly a battle, because as you begin to read 2 Thessalonians 2, listen now, verse 1, concerning the coming, the parousia is the word, concerning the parousia of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to him, we ask you, brothers, not to become easily unsettled or alarmed by some prophecy, report, or letter. Please understand something. This is all about the crisis there in the early days when they knew the biblical or the word of the Lord as revealed concerning the second coming, but counterfeit spiritual inspiration came in. False prophecy, false inspiration, false words or letters that disturbed the believers, that easily unsettled them. And the Spirit of God is saying, don't allow yourself to be so easily unsettled. Don't let anybody deceive you. Verse 3. Now, this is about even when we know the Word of God lightly, the enemy would like to steal it to unsettle us and not give us the confidence, the boldness, the clarity, the knowledge, the depth of the truth. Every verse needs to be taken in. Every verse needs to be held to. Satan would love to disrupt us. See, your confidence, your faith is built on the Word of God. Your experience from that grows and broadens in prophetic revelation. As we see here in 2 Thessalonians 2, it involves the revelation that God has given, the attempts of the enemy to bring in counterfeit and weaken our grip, our confidence, our faith, our knowledge, and the way we live. You see, you will never do any more than you believe. And when you believe the Word of God and you stand on it and you grip it and it's in your life and you're putting it into practice and you're quoting it and sharing it and, well, believing it fully, then you will experience what it says. You'll have confidence in it. The Spirit of God will be blessing you in it. So the enemy tries to weaken and steal and take and cause doubt. And so the clarity again here is gripping the Word of God. And as the Spirit of God instructs you and I, verse 3, especially in the days of the actual ramping up of massive deception, massive seduction spiritually, God says, don't let anyone deceive you in any way. In reference to the parousia and our being gathered, that day will not come, as it says, until two things, very emphatic in the original. Until the rebellion, literally the revolt. Early English translations like the Williams and even Latin translate it clearly, the great revolt or the revolt. The word is used in Acts 21:21. It's in reference to a political religious coup. It's an event. It's a anarchy. Until this satanically guided revolt, rebellion occurs, and the man of lawlessness, Anthropos Anomos. This is the Satan in human skin, but defined as the man of lawlessness, meaning that he stands opposed to everything about God. His word, his presence, his law, his revealed scripture, everything. He's the man of lawlessness, an absolute anti-God. Well, until the man of lawlessness is revealed, apocalypse, the visible unveiling. Now, he'll be here many years, even operating probably politically, as we see in Daniel, but he will be revealed. There'll be an unveiling of the man that's already there. And again, Homo Satanus, Satan in human skin. Now, instantly, God gives the confidence to us. This is the man doomed to destruction. No question that the great chaos, anarchy, rebellion will occur on the heels of that and the dust of that rebellion and anarchy and revolt, I believe, caused by the enemy. Plotted, as we see the plot 3,000 years ago in Psalm chapter 2. The kings, the nations, the peoples, raging in conspiracy and plot. But God says they plot in vain. The Antichrist is the man doomed to destruction. It defines before he's revealed, and as of this speaking today, the 12th of January 2010. The man of sin, the man of lawlessness, the Antichrist, has not yet been revealed. The apocalypse of his presence into the world has not yet occurred. Now, most believe that he's out there and the time is coming. But one thing about his arrival that many people fear about all that will occur, and yes, he will bring great destruction worldwide, as Jesus said, Matthew 24, as never before in all of history. But he's doomed to destruction. His arrival is a declaration of God's word, prophetic word, that says he's doomed. Revelation 19, 19, 19, 20. You'll see the ultimate end. His unveiling, his apocalypse, gives him about 7 years. Now, he will never be stopped by human effort, not even by the prayers of the saints. Yet the prayers of the saints may bring answers from God in the judgment during the rise and reign of the beast kingdom. The Spirit of God gives us, again, definition of the Antichrist. Where else are we going to get this? Can you find it anywhere else? Is there any of the books where the Spirit of God has revealed this? No. So here we have the selected and only and accurate future description of the one that will come. Verse 4, he will oppose and exalt himself over everything that is called God or his worship, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. Now that is one of the insatiable desires of Satan. That's how it originated, as he desired to take the place of God. Now verse 5 says, don't you remember, that's part of the issue that we need to remember, that we need to memorize, that we need to have down, that we need to be familiar, we need to study again and again and again. No matter how much I think I know, I still learn daily. I still want to memorize. I still want to learn. This is privileged information. This is selected information, infallible information. This is an intelligence report spiritually that only God, the infinite Holy Spirit, can give concerning the satanic evolution, the sequence of that satanic evolution, his agenda. Now in verse 6, God says, and you know, and now you know what is holding him back, holding the Antichrist back, so that he may be revealed, have this visible apocalypse at the proper time. No matter what we think concerning the satanic kingdom, God still restrains and holds back the bursting out. But when the restraint is moved, you can be sure the anarchy will burst, the collapse will occur, the rise of Antichrist to, well, claim to save the world, to draw the world to him, is going to occur. The lawless one will be revealed. Again, in verse 8, the Spirit of God instantly says, whom the Lord Jesus will overthrow with the breath of his mouth and destroy by the splendor of his coming. Now notice here, as Paul is guided by the Spirit of God to refer to the destruction of Antichrist as the visible return of Christ is coming. Now you go to Revelation 19, 19, 19, 20. You see the exact same thing by John. Many, many years later, the Spirit of God guides John to write and give another broader picture of what this verse 8 is telling us. It's the same because there's one author, the Spirit of God, when it comes to the Scripture, the Grapha, the writings. And God gives us this insight here, and more insight in Revelation, and more in Matthew 24, and across the board. So now that you read this, it adds to our understanding. Yes, he will rise, and yes, great destruction will come, but the Lord Jesus will overthrow, again, by the speaking. He's going to bring, he's going to destroy by the splendor of his coming. Now, verse 9 says, the coming, that is that evolutionary, that rising, that coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with the work, the supernatural operating power of Satan, displayed in all kinds of counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders, and in every sort of evil that deceives those who are perishing. Dear Christian, today, God gives us an intelligence report, an insight. Here is a panoramic view. When you get this insight down and have this insight, you not only know the future, actual future human history, you can speak it, you can share, you can point towards, well, the coming of this Antichrist. You can use this in evangelism. You can use this, well, I believe you can use it in the sense of urgency in our lives right now, as we have time, as we have opportunity, well, to redeem the time, to use it to the glory of God. Today, to pray over the day and say, God, help us to win one more soul to Christ. Bring striking revival to our church. Strike this city with spiritual awakening and bring thousands to Christ. Are we the prayer warriors? Are we the soul winners? Are we those who stand? So let's once again shake off all the apathy and all the carelessness and everything the world, the flesh, and the devil would try to do. And let us be ablaze for God with privileged, selected, incredible prophetic revelation. God gives so much information about Satan's, well, agenda. The step-by-step sequential growth of that, and then the events, and then what will occur, and then the striking responses of God. So you've got to realize, in all of our knowledge of this rise of radical evil and what's going to occur, there's an instantaneous revelation of God about his destruction of the work of the enemy and the work of what he is going to do. There is an end-time battle that will manifest visibly, demonstratively in our world, and it's upon us. So in the sight of the living Christ, with this word of God burning in our hearts, what will we do? We will stand and give glory and praise to God for the insight. We will take great care and intensive study and memorization to know this word well. We will put it into our hearts to motivate us in prayer, in blessing our brothers and sisters, and doing the ministry of Jesus, reaching souls, praying for the sick, commanding the demonic out. Listen, dear believer in Christ, the necessity, the call, the responsibility, and the possibilities of what you can do for Jesus are vast. May the Word of God enlighten you, illuminate you, and bring revelation of God's, well, giving you by detailed, specific, prophetic revelation of what the enemy is developing, doing, and going to do. Will you use it today to inspire your study, your walk, your prayer, your witness? Will you use it today with a sense of growing urgency? I must grow stronger. I must become more powerful in prayer. I must stand in with the rest of the brothers and sisters and pray that the church is stricken with God's power for revival, so that the whole church, Acts chapter 4, my friend, Acts chapter 4. May the breath of the Spirit of God fall upon you, burn inside of you, in the love of Jesus, who wills no man to perish, but for all to come in repentance. As a believer, brother or sister in Jesus, take time, wait upon the Lord, listen. Meditate on these words in 2 Thessalonians 2. Nail them down. Be at the cutting edge. This is beyond the psychics, Nostradamus, remote viewers, and all the other counterfeit junk prophetic attempts. This is the Word of God. This is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net, 31 Days Ablaze.